Greece has always been kind to me. Some of the most satisfying professional and personal moments of my life have happened here. I had an idyllic wedding and honeymoon on the island of Santorini. The dry, warm air of the Athens hills cured our son's weak lungs and turned him into a strapping young man. Friendships I made in an instant have endured, in some cases, for 25 years. I left Greece in 2011 because of circumstances beyond my control, and this is the first time I've been back in a professional capacity in 4 years. The place is as familiar and as comfortable as an old sweater. My friends have all aged, as have I. But somehow the lines on their faces are etched deeper than mine. The relentless jackboot of austerity has carved ravines across their foreheads. I've seen faces slowly wither like dying flowers before. It was in Sarajevo during the siege 20 years ago. War does that to people, and this crisis is similar, in that it's a never-ending battle of attrition and survival. My overwhelming emotion is one of sadness. I worry. For the brilliant, incisive diplomatic correspondent who hasn't worked for 3 years since his newspaper went bust and who now scours junk shops in the hope of profiting from hidden treasure. For the cancer specialist, once ridiculed by fellow doctors for always paying his taxes in full and not offering a discount for cash. He and his wife, also an inspirational medical practitioner, have a comfortable home in Athens' northern suburbs, 2 cars and a swimming pool, but they are in negative equity. Like other members of the middle class, they've been subjected to continuous tax rises and can now just about make ends meet. They can't sell their possessions because no one has any money. "Yes, we have a swimming pool," says the wife, "but that won't feed my children." She's contemplating leaving Greece with her 3 teenagers for North America if things get worse, as they inevitably will. It's unbelievable that such a perfect family, which has contributed so much to this country, should be on the verge of splitting up. I haven't been observing Greece from the bubble of a luxury hotel. I've been staying in one of the poorest parts of Athens. I also worry for the woman who sits on a pile of cardboard boxes in front of a sausage store and tries to convince hard-up shoppers to buy her string of garlic bulbs. I worry about the old man with a Father Christmas beard who shuffles around the side streets with a supermarket trolley full of scrap metal. For the man who spent 5 minutes the other day, half hidden from view, as he rummaged through a dumpster for food. And for another man who I see sleeping in a doorway, not far from a tiny, rough-hewn Orthodox chapel on Athenaeus Street. All around me I see people straining every sinew to make a living. The popular image in Northern Europe of lazy Greeks is a myth. This society is working around the clock to try to survive. My sadness is tinged with disdain, especially for the Eurocrats being blamed here for crushing Greece with the latest bailout conditions. The Federalists in Brussels, with ambitions to create a United States of Europe, who accepted Greece into the Euro, bear much responsibility. It was clear to anyone with just a smattering of brain cells that Greece cooked the books to qualify for admission to the single currency. The country's deputy prime minister admitted as much to me 4 years ago. But the Federalists turned a blind eye, and now they're reaping the whirlwind of division and, who knows, possibly default further down the line. The strictures imposed on Greece aren't working. The head of the shipowners' organisation, a qualified wealth creator, if ever there was one, told me that the policy of inflicting repeated taxes and nothing for investment was a fast track to Skid Row. The irony is that as a result of the capital controls, the economy is returning to being cash-based, with no receipts and dodgy deals, which means there'll be less for the taxman to collect and less chance of the national debt being paid off. I fear that Greece hasn't yet reached the bottom of the abyss. This country has enormous potential. That it will never be fulfilled is heartbreaking.